When I was 10 years old, my parents began taking in foster children, infants, occasionally a toddler, in need of care while social services sorted out whether they could return to their birth family or instead needed an adoptive placement. My two brothers, sister, and I were in elementary school. I can only imagine how challenging it was for my mother to manage all of us while my father worked two jobs. An image from that time remains with me. Todd, perhaps 8 months old, clinging to the rail of his playpen, wailing inconsolably. And Greg, 2, maybe 3 years old, reaching over the rail, his arms around Todd as best as he could, offering comfort. How is it that a child so young can recognize someone in distress and know that human touch is needed? What prompts any of us to care for another human being? Evolutionary biologists who study such questions suggest that empathy is a building block for cooperation, which in turn was key to the development of human society. Seeking to understand how we evolved as a species, how humankind learned to share food, to resolve conflict, still working on that one, to work together for the common good. Scientists have spent time with hunter-gatherer populations, small groups who live in very remote areas around the globe. The hunter-gatherer way of life emerged before the invention of agriculture. Evolutionary biologists think that contemporary groups have something to teach all of us about our development as a species. For those of you who were here on Christmas Eve, the 8 or 10:30, some of this may begin to sound a little familiar. I wasn't here, but it seems that Phil and I have an eye for preachable news. So bear with me, and hopefully I'll turn this in a little bit different direction and bring you a slightly different perspective. So, how did we learn to share food and work together? A recent study of the AGTA, hunter-gatherers from the Philippines, found an essential piece of the puzzle: storytelling. Storytelling is a universal human attribute. Our children tell stories spontaneously. Folk tales are carefully preserved in many different cultures. Among the Agta, skilled storytellers are preferred as social partners. They're valued more highly than good fishers or hunters or foragers, despite the importance of extensive food sharing among the Agta. Better storytellers have what the researchers called increased reproductive success, which means that these better storytellers have a higher number of living offspring than non-skilled storytellers. Ogta people seem willing to share more resources with those they consider to be skilled storytellers. Camps with a greater proportion of skilled storytellers exhibit higher levels of cooperation. So the Ogta value cooperation, gender equality, and social egalitarianism, and their stories seem designed to teach those values. So in one story, Wild Pig and Sea Cow were best friends and always raced each other for fun. But the sea cow injured his legs and couldn't run anymore. The wild pig was unhappy and carried the sea cow to the sea. They could race each other again, pig on land, sea cow in the sea. Another story suggests an approach to conflict resolution. There's a dispute between the sun, depicted as male, and the moon, female, to illuminate the sky. After a fight, where the moon proves to be as strong as the sun, they agree to share the sky, one during the day, the other at night. In our contemporary context, the Christmas season has spawned its share of stories. A Visit from St. Nicholas, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas is its better known title. A Christmas Carol, Charlie Brown's Christmas, The Nutcracker. Some of these stories call forth our better selves, like the Ogta stories promoting cooperation. And then by December 25th, it's all over. The stories have been played and replayed and retold, and the world moves on. For us as Christians, December 25th is just the first day of Christmas. So today, we find ourselves in the middle of the season. 12 days of Christmas, bookended by amazing stories. The Gospel of Luke tells the story of the birth of Jesus during a census conducted by the occupying Roman Empire, a census that required Mary, great with child, and Joseph to travel. And then, because there was no place for them to stay, to seek shelter amidst animals while she gave birth. Despite these harsh circumstances, the oppressive Roman Empire looming in the background, angels announce to a lowly band of shepherds the joyous news of the birth of a Savior. Go tell it on a mountain. The Christmas season ends on the Feast of the Epiphany with Matthew's story of astrologers from the East who read the signs in the night sky and set forth to celebrate the birth of a Savior and King. This story, too, is bound up with the terror of the occupying empire. King Herod meets the visitors from the East and slyly asks them to report what they find in Bethlehem, pretending that he, too, wants to worship this newborn king. Warned by an angel, Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus flee to Egypt. One more refugee family seeking safety. When Herod learns that he's been outwitted, he takes revenge, slaughtering all the other children in Bethlehem who were under 2 years old. Today, between these two stories of Christmas, stories of the birth of Jesus to a people suffering under an occupying army, today, we hear the poetic imagery of John. The glorious, amazing, good news of incarnation. The Word became flesh and lived among us. The Word, John tells us, has been with God from the beginning of time, participating in the creation of the world. The Word was God, speaking creation into being, calling forth life. Then, John says, the Word became flesh and lived among us, took up residence with us, moved into the neighborhood. God is not a distant monarch removed from the concerns of the world, but chooses to become flesh, to enter human history in a particular person. Jesus, Word made flesh, shows us who God is. In Jesus, we encounter the light of the world, a light shining in the darkness, a light that darkness does not overcome. Through Jesus, we are invited to become children of God, to receive the gift of abundant life and draw close to God. Emmy Arnold, a Mennonite Christian who, with her husband, formed an intentional community in Germany during the 20th century, writes her childhood memory of the joy of Christmas. Sometimes in the evening, when I was looking out into the darkness of the still night, I would think I saw God's angels coming down to proclaim the Christmas message to us. The breath of Christmas peace blew down like a greeting from heaven. I proclaim to you great joy that shall come to all peoples, peace on earth. The true Christmas experience, Arnold writes, is to feel this Christmas peace is the greater power, that even now on earth it overcomes all unpeace, that this peace should come to all. That is the expectation and faith of Christmas. Arnold continues, the Christmas star in the night sky, the shining of the Christmas light in the night, all this is the sign that light breaks into the darkness. Though we see about us the darkness of unrest, of family discord, of class struggle, of competitive jealousy, of national hatred, the light shall shine and drive it out. Jesus is light. Wherever the Christmas child is born in a heart, wherever Jesus begins his earthly life anew, That is where the life of God's love and of God's peace dawns again. The gospel stories of Christmas. Luke's story of the baby in the manger, angels singing and shepherds worshiping. Matthew's story of astrologers from the east seeking a newborn savior and king. John's lyric hymn reaching back to the beginning of time. These stories shape us as children of God. They tell us, they sing to us of God's great love for us, a love that has existed throughout time and into eternity. A love so great that God becomes flesh and takes up residence with us, bringing light into the darkest places of our lives and our world. Our response may be acts of compassionate self-giving, working for the common good, bearing witness to the light that shines in the darkness. Thanks be to God, who showers us with the fullness of grace upon grace.